You had so much for the service. Amen. Praise God for. All right, find in your Bibles. 1 Kings chapter 22. Does anybody have a testimony before we start? Anybody got anything on their heart? Want to brag on the Lord Jesus? Anybody? Miss Jinx. Man. Praise the Lord. Yes, ma'am. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. Amen. Great testimony, great praise. Anybody else have something on your heart before we get started? All right. Have you ever wanted to bless out the preacher? Sure you have. Quit lying. Going to shake your head? No, you know you have. Well, tonight we'll just, let's just talk bad about Brother Sellers since he's not here. We're going to do that biblically. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 22. Here's some things I'd like to tell Brother Sellers if he was here. Okay? And I mean that with all my heart. And maybe you'll say at the end of it, well, maybe you want to say it when he's here. Quit being a chicken. No, I ain't that brave. Amen. Here we go. 1 Kings 22:1. The Bible says, and they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria? And he said unto Jehoshaphat, wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth-Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? They said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. Now, that part is not my text, amen. Just go ahead and tell you now. But I hate him. That is not my text. We'll keep reading. For he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, hasten hither Micaiah, the son of Imlah. The king of Israel said, and the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat each on his throne, having put on their robes in a void place in the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets prophesied before them. And Zedekiah, the son of Chenaanah, made him horns of iron, and he said, thus saith the Lord, with these shalt thou push the Syrians until thou have consumed them. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand. And the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, behold now, the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. And Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. I'm going to stop reading there. Some things I'd tell my preacher if he were here. Can we pray? Father, it's been a great day. And it's been a great day because we've met with you. We've been in your presence. We've enjoyed each other's fellowship. And We have a great church in which we can do that. We have family members that have come in from around the country, and we're glad they're here. Always good to see them. Lord, we pray that you bless our preacher. We always miss him, Miss Sellers, and pray that you'd give him a good time, bring him back safely. And now, Lord, just for a few minutes, I just want to take some thoughts from this great passage and share them with these good folks whom I love. I pray that you would speak to our hearts, encourage us, help us to be more like the Lord Jesus. And God, put your hand of blessing on this ministry here and all that we do. May it honor you in Christ's name. Amen. We open up our scene with two kings. That is Jehoshaphat, whose name we read several times. The other one is referred to as the king of Israel. That's Ahab. We know who he is. He's not a very good man. But yet these have come together at this time for a common goal, and that common goal is to dethrone Syria, to go to battle with them. Jehoshaphat said, you know what, my horses are your horses. I'm with you. Our folks are your folks. He said, but can't we ask God before we go into this battle? That's always a good thing to do, by the way. Seek the advice of the Lord before you make a minor decision, but certainly before you make a major decision. Sometimes we get ahead of ourselves and we get ahead of the Lord and we decide we're just going to plow right through something instead of asking God's advice and asking God's wisdom. So Jehoshaphat was at least a good enough Christian to know this, that before we do anything of this magnitude, we better ask God's help. And Ahab said, well, I got 400 prophets here. We'll gather them together and we'll talk to them and we'll ask them. Now, out of the 400 prophets that I'm going to call together, certainly they can tell us the mind of the Lord. Jehoshaphat, again, being a better Christian than Ahab, said, now wait, I realize you got 400 prophets, but is there not a man of God that we can use to inquire of the Lord? And Ahab's response is, well, there's one. His name is Micaiah, but I don't like him. Because every time I ask him something, he tells me something evil. In other words, he tells me something that I don't want to hear. And I'm tired of him. I'd rather gather these 400 together because they're going to tell me just what I want to hear. And Jehoshaphat said, let's talk to Micaiah. Amen. Let's talk to him and see what we can find because we need the mind of the Lord. Yeah, he's here, but every time I ask him to say something to me, he never tells me what I want to hear. It's always been true that through history, there have been those men and women that have swam against the tide, that have stood when it's been easier to sit. There's always been those that spoke God's word without hesitation and told it like it was. I love my preacher. I hope that comes across to you without me having to tell you. One of the great things I get to do with my life is to make his easier. I like doing that. I'm not the pastor of this church, nor do I want to be. That's not what God's called me to do. What God's called me to do is encourage the man of God that's here. And I'm glad that I have the opportunity to do that. That is a great privilege for me. So I want to tell you some things tonight outside of his presence, some things I'd like to, and by the way, have already told him. Number one, if you're taking notes, would you write this down at least in your heart? Keep preaching the word of God, even though it's not popular. Would you write that down somewhere? Brother Sellers, if I could tell you something tonight in your presence or outside of your presence, here's what I want to tell you. You just keep preaching that old King James Bible that we have on our lap, whether it becomes popular or unpopular to me, to my society, or to the world that we live in today. Thus saith the Lord is still in the Bible. It's not going away. It's going to be proclaimed forever because the Bible says that His Word, God's Word, is forever settled in heaven. If there's any hope for me, if there's any hope for my family, if there's any hope for my children, who, what a blessing to have them all here today, all my children, all my grandchildren, if there's any hope for them, there's any hope for my wife and for me and for this church and for this community and for this nation and for this world, it is in fact that some leather-lung man of God with a backbone to get up and say, thus saith God, whether you like it or not and whether I like it or not, and you just preach God's word. Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke. Just preach the Bible. But I'm telling you what's the truth. You don't have to go very far. You can go to your vehicle and turn on the radio and you can hear people on the radio. They're not preaching the Bible. Now that doesn't make us better. That doesn't make us more spiritual. That just lets me know this, that there's a charge that I want to give to Brother Sellers, and I think you want to join me in this, and that is just keep preaching God's word. Whether it steps on my toes or goes all the way up to my eyebrows. We're labeled today as Christians. We're labeled in our country as bigoted. We're labeled as backward. We're labeled as biased. We're unloving. We're intolerant. But that's all right. I just say preach the word. Just preach it. Well, preach it unapologetically. That's a long one there, isn't it? Just preach God's word, Brother Sellers. Don't be led away and don't be afraid to say what God says. Preach it faithfully. Preach it with power. Preach against my sin. Listen, you hear the preacher say this all the time. It's we want him to get up here and preach against homosexuality, and we want him to preach against alcohol, and we want him to preach against all the other things that are so obvious to our nation. But when it comes down to where he's preaching about stuff that's my problem, then we kind of want to back off a little bit, and our amens don't get nearly as loud. Just preach against my sin. Just preach against the things that are wrong in my life, because I need it. I need God's word. I need a man of God to preach the word of God, and I'm glad that I come to a church where every Sunday I can get that done. I can sit right there in my seat and I can hear the man of God preach the word of God. Keep it up. Don't stop. Just keep preaching. Number two, not only do I want you to keep preaching the word, keep pursuing God in your personal life so you can help me. Keep pursuing God in your personal life so you can help me. Amen. I know that sounds selfish, but it's true. All of us would say this. We don't want a preacher that's away from God. We want a preacher that walks with God. Why? Because number one, I want him to preach that book. And number two, I want him to keep pursuing God because I want my pastor, I want my preacher to be right with God. In case I need him, I can get some good godly information from him. Amen. Probably most of us, if not most of us, some of us have been to the preacher's office and sat there and got some advice or got a chewing out. I've been on both ends of those, amen. I'd much rather have the advice than the chewing out, but I've been the recipient of both. But that's all right. Just preach the word. Pursue God. I don't want just your opinion, Brother Sellers. I want to know what God thinks. I want to know what the Bible says. I want you to be close to him in case I need you. I want you to stay close to God in case I call you at 3:00 in the morning and you with a need, a large need in my life, and you're able to fall right out of the bed and get a hold of God. That's what I want in my pastor. That's what you want. You don't know when an emergency is going to happen. You don't know when you're going to need to call on God. You don't know when some kind of tragedy is going to strike in your family. And at 2:00 in the morning, you have to get on the phone and call your preacher and say, preacher, I need you. I want him to be able to get a hold of God right then. I don't want to have him wait 30 minutes to confess all his sins before he can get right with God, before he can help me. So keep pursuing God in your personal life. Verse 8 says, there is yet one man, Micaiah the son of Imla, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. The reason Micaiah could require of the Lord or inquire of the Lord is because he stayed close to the Lord. My dad's not doing real well. He's doing okay, but he's not doing real well. I want Brother Sellers to pray for him. I love my daddy. My goodness, I love him. I want God to heal him. He went to the doctor this past Monday. Guess who I got a text from? Praying for your dad today. It was my preacher. Stay close to God, because when my family needs help, when I have a decision to make, when I need godly advice, stay close, because I might just need you. I don't know where I'd be today if while I was yet 700 miles away from Ludowice, I couldn't have called Brother Sellers on many, many, many occasions. There was a few times all I could get out was just a whimper. Brother Earl, is that you? I couldn't even tell him who I was. Is that you, Brother Earl? Yeah. About all I could get out. I want him to stay close to God because I might need him. Okay? Number three, we're going to be done early. Glory to God. Number three, here we go. Keep putting up with me when I ignore your advice. Would you write that down somewhere? Verse number 16, and the king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? What's going on here is Micaiah told him what he needed to hear. But Ahab said, that's not what I wanted to hear. Brother Sellers, would you keep putting up with me even though I ignore your advice? Here's what I think. I think the best counseling that you'll ever get in your life is where you're seated at right now, listening to the man of God preach the word of God. Day in, day out, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, every night of revival. If you got trouble, his office is open. My office is open. You're welcome to come anytime. But the best counseling you're going to get in your everyday life is to show up to church and let the man of God preach the word of God and let the Holy Spirit of God apply that word to your heart, and you'll be amazed. We might be preaching on Balaam's donkey, and then God's going to say something to your heart that'll help you with the need that you have. Just listen to the man of God. Keep putting up. I know I asked for your help, but you didn't tell me what I wanted to hear. Now, I know none of you have done this, but I have. I've made up my mind what I wanted, and then I go to the preacher's office and ask him to bless it. Now, Brother Sellers, I've been thinking about this and praying about it, and I've decided that I'm going to do this. What do you think? And here's what we want to hear him. I think that's the most wonderful thing I've ever heard in my life. I don't even know why you got a preacher. You're so close to the Lord. Amen. Glory to Jesus. No, what he might say is, I'll tell you what, if you wanted my advice, why didn't you just come before you'd already made your decision? Keep putting up with me, even though I ignore your advice. How many of us, myself included, have come to church and listened to a message and went off and ignored it? All of us. I know that you're busy. I know that you scheduled some time for me that took you away from your family. I know that you don't mind helping, but what you told me is not what I wanted to hear. Could you just let me tell you what I want, and you take out that rubber stamp in your desk and just stamp approved on it for me? Would you just do that? By the way, when I ignore your advice and I come back in a week, have patience with me. When I ignore what you told me last Tuesday and I come back this Tuesday and I ask you something different and you say, did you do what I told you the last time? And I say, well, no. Just be patient with me. I'm a knucklehead. No, I didn't take your advice last time. Then why'd you come ask me? Just be patient with me. I'm working on it, okay? Just keep putting up with me when I don't take your advice. Number whatever's next. Keep plodding along, though others quit. Verse number 8 says, there is yet one man. Isn't that sad? That's a sad portion of Scripture. There's 400 false prophets. There's 400 that'll be glad to tickle your ear, but there's only one that we can get some inquiring of the Lord from. Just keep plodding along, though others quit. Don't stop. Don't get overwhelmed. Don't get weary. Don't slow down. There are 400 men that quit and 400 men that'll tell you what you want to hear and just one that says, thus saith the Lord. Don't let the pressures of the ministry, don't let the pressures of finances, don't let the attacks of the enemy, don't let disappointments in daily service cause you to stop. Just keep on going because I need you. Others have stopped. Others have quit. Others have rolled over. But by the grace of God, preacher, would you just keep going? Because we need you. We need you. Just keep going. You're needed. You're wanted. And I'm glad that you're my preacher. Two more things and I'm done. We'll go to the house, amen. Keep praying for me so I can remain faithful. Verse number 22, and the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all the apostles. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. This would have taken place had Micaiah, the man of God, not been right with God and not been praying for this group. I'm prone to wonder, the song says, and if the song hadn't said it, it'd still be true in my life. I'm susceptible to failure. I can be attacked by the enemy and have been. I can become weary and have been, just like you. Please pray for me, preacher. I need it. In your busy day, when you're talking to God, would you just mention my name before the throne of grace? Be sure to pray. And when you do, preacher, remember me. I need God's help. Just keep praying for me so I can remain faithful. We have a preacher that prays for us by name. You know what's easy for me to do and for him? And you probably do the same thing. I have at least enough of a memory left in my aged position that I can remember where you sit, and I can remember your face. And it's very easy for me to kneel down at my pew in here and start in the back with Brother Mike Fuller. He's going to be sitting right there every time. And I can make my way up the whole side over here and just remember. You can do it too if you just stopped a minute and looked and thought. And you can name every name right on up to Brother Porter, who normally sits on the front row. Tim and Sarah Stone, who normally sit on the back row here, all the way up to the second row on this side where Miss Sellers normally sits. Brother Deborah and Miss Jessie over here, and all the way on back to Tim Manning, if he's here, sitting in the back over there, and whichever knucklehead is in the sound booth. And we can do that, can't we? Just keep praying for me, because I need it. Last thing, and I'm done. Keep pastoring, because I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you. It's a sin for you not to pray for your preacher. It's a sin. Now, I don't mean you don't have to sit down and pray for him for 30 minutes. That's not what I'm talking about. I realize the importance of support and prayer, and I know you do too. I'm going to support you, Brother Sellers, and I'm going to pray for you every day. Are you praying for him every day? Brother Reynolds, is that important? You've been a pastor longer than I've been alive almost. You know that's important. I'm going to support you with praying. I'm going to encourage you with phone calls. Can I encourage you to do this? Just every now and then, pick up the phone, cell phone. You got the preacher's number. If you don't, I'll give it to you. Just call him, text him, and say, Brother Sellers, I prayed for you this morning. I just want you to know I love you and I'm behind you. Okay, after he gets back from the hospital, amen, having heart failure, okay, because you sent that to him, he'll be encouraged. Would you do me a favor? Would maybe you come in one day on a Saturday and he's not in his office and you write a little note and you slip it under his door. And that note can simply say something like this, Brother Sellers, I think you're a great pastor. I prayed for you today and I love you and Miss Sherry. Would you do that? Could you do that? Could you pray for him every day? Could you encourage him? I'm going to encourage you with phone calls, with notes, with emails, and handshakes, and hugs when they're appropriate. I'm going to love you. I'm going to love your wife. And I'm going to love your family. I am even going to go as far as to mention your name before the throne of grace. Somebody said there's three or four good ways to get rid of your preacher. Could I read those to you? Number one, look the preacher straight in the eye while he's preaching and say amen every now and then, and you'll preach him to death. Number two, pat him on the back, brag on his good points, and he'll probably work himself to death. Number three, rededicate your life to Christ. Ask the preacher for some job to do, like winning the lost to Jesus, and he'll die of heart failure. And number four, get the church to unite in prayer for the preacher. He'll soon become so effective that some larger church will take him away from him. Brother Sellers, if you ever need anything, would you let me know so that I can do it for you? So that I can encourage you? So that I can get behind you and pray? Listen, we ought to be on our knees every day praying for each other and for our preacher. Those of you that are doing that, and I know you are, keep it up. Those of us that may not be, could we start? Brother Sellers, if you ever need anything, you just let me know. Perhaps it would be more appropriate if I said these things to him while he was here. By the way, I have. I want him to be encouraged. Probably nobody in the room could tell you the daily in and out and grind of what a pastor goes through, perhaps other than Brother Reynolds. But it's not always fun. There are some bees that come with the honey. Would you make it a point to do this? Would you pray for him? Would you encourage him? Brother Earl, is he in that bad of shape? No, he's doing great. But you know what? We want him to do greater. We want him to do greater. You tell the Lord, thank you for a man of God that'll stand up and preach the word of God, that'll put up with me and my whining, that'll put up with me and my sin, that'll keep pursuing God and praying. God, would you allow me the privilege to be a blessing to the man of God that has meant so much to me? I've told you this before, and I'll tell you again, and I'll quit. I've been through some rough times like you have. And I was in one of those slumps, just sitting in Brother Sellers' office, mealy-mouthing and whining and complaining and everything in between. And he said, Brother Earl, do you know why you have a pastor? I said, no. He said, because you need one. That's just simple wisdom. The reason you have a pastor is because you need one. And we thank God for the one we have. Let's pray. Father, help us to be an encouragement to our preacher. We always miss him when he's gone. We thank you for the man of God that stands here in this pulpit that has given his life and his dear wife that have done the same. And Lord, this sermon and this teaching wasn't meant to make him more than he is. It's meant to encourage our hearts to pray for our preacher, to get behind him, to be faithful to church, to do all we can, to pray, to give, to go out of our way, to spend our life, that he might be encouraged. Would you help us to do that? Now, Lord, these folks know exactly what I'm talking about because most of them are already involved in these things I've said, and I appreciate it so much. God, would you encourage our preacher? Would you set your hedge about him and Miss Sellers and bless him? Thank you so much for the leadership that they give. And if he was here, these are some things that I'd say to him. Bless this invitation in Christ's name. Amen. Brother PJ singing. You may stand to your feet. The altar is open. Maybe you'd just like to take this opportunity to come down and pray for Brother Sellers and Miss Sellers. Maybe make a commitment in your own heart that we're going to do a better job in supporting him. Miss Lori, Brother PJ, you play and sing.